The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Bird's Eye View here on WTBR. It's a sunny, warm morning here on Thursday. I am Jesse. I am joined by Mike and our special guest, Howard Herman. I have not had a full night's sleep in like 4 days, so it's fun because we got back home at about 3 minutes to 1 a.m. yesterday after being in Worcester to see the Drury Blue Devils and the Pittsfield Generals both lose in the state semifinals. Pittsfield in the D4 state semifinals, Drury in the D5 one. So that is it for high school sports in Berkshire County. Everyone is done for the spring season. There will be no more state champions coming back to Berkshire County. Tough way to end it for both teams. Drury lost to English, which was the 2 seed and the reigning state champ. They lost 9-7. That game was at Holy Cross. Pittsfield was also at Holy Cross. It was a doubleheader. Pittsfield was the 1 seed. They were upset by number 5. Milbury 11-7. The game wasn't that close. It was 11-1 for most of the game. Pittsfield put up 6 runs in the last 2 innings when a lot of Milbury backups were in. But yeah, so that ends our season. And it was the Drury game was a game that was a real game that was kind of a wild game. Drury scored 5 runs in the top of the first. Then English scored 5 runs in the top of the first and said, hey, we can do that too. And then all of a sudden, both defenses took over. And really, that it was a very Drury game in the sense that, you know, you can say glass half full, they kept chipping away because they kept putting runners on. And it's like, you know, they're going to break through eventually. But at the same time, they stranded like 8 runners. You can't do that against the number 2 team in the state.
No, you can't. They should have won the game. Flat out, they should have won the game. Half of the runs that English scored were unearned.
Yeah?
You take away an error, and Drury wins the game.
Drury had, what, like 3 errors just making routine throws to first?
Yeah.
And Connor Hinkle had a really bad wild pitch that let a guy come in from third?
Had 2 wild pitches in the same inning that they had here, because those 3 runs in the 6th inning were unearned.
Yeah.
Were all unearned.
And you could tell, I think he was trying to induce...
I think he was out of gas. I really do.
I thought he was trying to induce the bunt to try and get the guy out at the plate. And so he was just throwing these maniac pitches to try and get him to bunt. And it was just, you know, it was unhittable. And so
it was interesting because the result wasn't the same, but it was a similar first inning to what Connor Hinkle had against McCann in the round of 16. Where he loaded the bases, couldn't find home plate, got out of the inning, and then over the next 5 innings did not put another guy on base. And it was a similar outing last night, English being a much better team than McCann, obviously, as the reigning state champions. And I will say right here, they will not repeat.
They shouldn't.
They will not repeat. Pioneers better.
I mean, yeah, obviously you don't know how...
It doesn't matter. And at this point of the season, you know, I know you used the term upset before. That Milbury team was better.
Oh, agreed.
Was a better base...
It was a number upset.
Would beat Pittsfield 7 out of 10.
Agreed. It was a number upset. That's what I was saying.
And what happened in that... And the Pittsfield's problem in that game was weather. Here's because it goes back to last week. Because they should have played Saturday, couldn't play Saturday, couldn't play Sunday. Then Monday they get rained out and have to play Tuesday. So now you're a little short pitching. I mean, you still have numbers, but if the Uxbridge Pittsfield game had played out the way it did on Saturday, Simon Melly would have been available yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, here's where I'm at. You only wasted 2 pitchers against Uxbridge. Now, they're your 2 best pitchers, but it took you your 2 best pitchers to get past them. So if you have, like, 6 other arms left and none of them are good enough, that's on you. You know, the fact that you couldn't get past Uxbridge otherwise. The real problem for Pittsfield was they couldn't hit the ball. Until the very end when it didn't matter. Well, they could not hit the ball.
But it's funny because they got all their runs off of the Milbury starter, who was still in the game.
I mean, yeah, he was
and
still
was,
in the...
and was running on fumes in the seventh.
Yeah,
end.
No, it didn't. It was stat padding. Like, you know, the game was already over. The defense had backups in. He was still there because I think they were trying to get him the complete game win, and he had pitched very, very well up until the seventh. But no, it didn't. You knew what was going to happen. There was not going to be a comeback. And they couldn't find the gaps. They couldn't get the base hits they needed. They couldn't do anything.
They couldn't. They got outpitched. In the seventh inning, I don't think those substitutions mattered because the guy that mattered was still in there from the first inning, and they were hitting him in the seventh inning.
The Milbury outfield had as great a game as I've seen.
Absolutely.
That right fielder made two heroic catches over the shoulder. The center fielder had one where he was fully parallel to the ground, diving to catch and held on to it. They were spectacular to rob Pittsfield of what should have been at least singles, if not doubles, on multiple
and especially
occasions.
On a couple, especially on the dive, because if he misses that,
that
could have been a home run.
Yeah,
because it gets by him and rolls to the wall, and there's nobody else there.
Yeah,
those are the. If you watch enough baseball, you've seen that happen, where a guy will dive, and it will roll all the way to the wall, and that's a big ballpark, at Fitton Field, and that could have been a home run. If he doesn't catch that ball.
I don't think it's
ball.
A home run, but it's a double or a triple. And it's a big
I think Jack Abel's hit, that the kid did the Willie Mays running backwards, would have been out at most ballparks. Most high school ballparks.
Yeah.
That's a home run. Yeah, that's an out-of-the-park home run.
But yeah, no, they got beat. They got smoked. And they, they didn't want the smoke. And, on the other hand.
I don't
hand,
know about that, but.
maybe
they wanted. You say that too much.
Maybe.
They certainly tried, but yeah, I mean the starting pitcher gave up 10 hits in the first two innings, and yeah,
yeah, yeah, and they put in a contact pitcher against a great hitting team, and they found all the gaps. And I mean, literally the first play of the game, the very first Milbury batter smacks an infield fly, and Jay Cody drops it, and that was just the opening.
Oh, the line drive.
Yeah,
the line drive. And
but he drops it. But that's an out. That's an easy out. Everyone gets their feet set. You're okay.
And the scorekeeper ruled it a single.
He did. Yes.
That's not a single. That was a drop.
I know. Well, we know that.
That was an error.
So it was it's interesting because the Pittsfield game changer marked it as an error. But
yeah,
officially, it was a hit because the guy had 10 hits up on the board in 2 innings.
Because
if you're talking about the scoreboard was not official.
No, the scoreboard is official because the official scorer is upstairs for that game, and that's official.
Well, they were wrong 90% of the time during the Drury game, so I don't think they're official. I'm not giving them that credit. they would have 1-2, one ball, two strikes.
Well, talking about that. They were the official scorers for hit v error.
And they gave they give wrong runs half the time. Yeah, no, I'm not. They are. They might be the official scorer, but I'm not giving them the rank of officiant. In any case, yeah. So, Drury and Pittsfield got beat by two better teams. That's the long and the short.
And
I'm
not sure Drury got beat by a better team. I think, I always like to say, you can get beat and you can lose. And I think getting beat, as Pittsfield did, is something where you tip your hat.
Yeah.
I think Drury lost.
Yeah, Drury lost. That's more. Yeah, they could have. They definitely could have won.
Pittsfield could not have won.
Pittsfield
could have won had things completely been different.
Yeah.
But the way the game played out, there were enough things for Drury that, you look at it, they left runners in scoring position three times in three different innings and came up empty. You get one more hit, they win the game.
Yeah, so Drury knocked out the English starting pitcher in the first inning, in midway through the first inning, because they had two or three runs off him, and then they had multiple good players on base, and so they pulled him and put in his backup. And I was not overly impressed by the backup, but for whatever reason, Drury had a really hard time hitting off him.
Well, Christian Ortiz, their coach, told me after the game that he's been to three of these. He's pitched in three of these state semifinals. So he's an experienced guy who knows what he's doing. and he and a different and a different kind of arm, you know, different kind of pitching kept them a kept Drury a little bit off balance. Let's tip our hats though to second baseman Braden Durant. Went three for four, double, two singles, two RBIs. He's an eighth grader.
Yeah.
He's going to be he has a chance to be the best player in Western Massachusetts by the time he's a senior.
He had a very good game. Didn't make an error, but he had a very good game. And yeah, he put the bat in the ball really, really, really well. Had a two RBI single in the top of the first when they were putting up all the runs. Yeah, he did very, very well.
Yeah, the problem that the top of the Drury order didn't produce as much as it should have. Rylander was 0 for 4 and only got good metal on the ball once on the line drive to left field in the sixth inning.
Now, his first one.
He popped a short. Popped a short, fly to right that was pretty shallow. But grounded back to the pitcher for his third at bat, and the pitcher ran it over and got him himself, which I thought he should have just thrown it to the first baseman, but that's okay. And then the line drive in the sixth inning.
That's because you're not as fast as the pitcher.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And Connor Hinkle kept doing offensively what Connor Hinkle's done through the tournament. He walks.
Yeah.
He walked twice last night. That gave him 8 walks for the state tournament.
That's pretty funny. 8 walks in 4 games.
Yeah, and the ball he hit in the sixth inning to left center was pretty well struck. And that was and Soto made a really nice catch out in left center.
Yeah.
Rob him. And then Hamilton comes up with the single with the RBI.
Lucas Hamilton had a great game as well.
He did. He did.
They were chanting, "Hammy, Hammy, Hammy," in the dugout. He was smacking the ball.
He was he ended up being 2 for 3. RBI single, 2 singles, 1 to left. The RBI single in the sixth that scored Noah Arnold, who had led off that inning with a double, went the other way. And you like to see, you know, and when right-handed batters go the other way, it's always an advantage.
Yeah. No, he had a very good game. Yeah, the middle to bottom-ish of the Drury order did their job offensively. The top didn't. And that was a big issue because at the end of the game, it was the top of the order that was up, and they could not produce. And so, yeah, no, that's tough. Drury let itself down as much as English played well. Yeah, you know, they stranded 6-8 runners, whatever it was. They had a bunch of errors. You do kind of wonder if, especially for some of the younger guys, because they got a lot of younger guys who are playing big minutes, being in this level, if that gets to you a little bit, playing in this field, if that gets to you a little bit. So, you know, on the one hand, it's great experience. They know what to expect. Once again, a lot of this team is coming back.
The entire team is coming.
There are
two seniors.
Who are the seniors?
One of them is Colby Malloy, who played first base and didn't hit, but came up as a pinch hitter.
Yep.
And the other one was James Varelis, who pinch ran.
Right.
And
okay.
And otherwise didn't play. Everybody else on that team, from pitchers to catchers, all the way down the line, comes back. And Robert Jutras, their coach, said he's ready to run it back with those guys. He absolutely loves his guys. Not even so much his team. He loves his guys, and he will tell you that. Interview him.
He had a great quote after the quarterfinal game. The quarterfinal game was the
Mount Everett.
We're chasing memories or something.
Yeah.
It was like, that was you, right? You covered that game?
No.
No,
Pittsburgh. Drury Everett.
No, it was Drury McCann.
Drury McCann. No,
no. Drury Everett was the quarterfinal game.
Yeah, that's right. Drury yeah, and yeah. I reused the quote in my advance.
Okay, yes.
I wasn't.
And
he said they're ready to go. You know, they're ready to go after. You know, they'll go chase it again. Excuse me, they'll go chase it again next year, and they should. And on paper, they should be right back in that position. Depending upon where they get seeded and all that, you know, you lose nobody.
They have a good chance to be the number one seed. They were the number one seed for a chunk of this year. They're going to have Connor Hinkle and Carson Rylander back on the mound. They're going to have all those hitters back. They're going to have Julian Feliciano back, who catches for both of them. They absolutely, and I assume Pioneer Valley is senior heavy. They could absolutely be the number one seed next year.
Yeah, they were senior heavy in basketball. Wouldn't be surprising if they were senior heavy here. Yeah. But we need before we
this
take
Pioneer Valley senior class should be studied.
It's insane. Yeah, no,
they didn't lose a basketball game, and they're not going to lose a baseball game.
What's happening in North Deerfield right now is boys basketball state champs undefeated. Boys, baseball currently undefeated. Going to the state final.
What's going on out there?
We're going to take a little break to just ponder what's happening in Pioneer Valley, and we'll be back soon. So stick with us here on WTBR and WSBR.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
Help children and families struggling with mental health and behavioral issues get the treatment they need by booking an equine-assisted team-building session for your organization at Berkshire Horseworks. All proceeds go directly toward funding programming for those at risk. Call Berkshire Horseworks at 413-698-3700 or visit our website, berkshirehorseworks.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Welcome back, folks, to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR-Lee. I'm Jesse. I'm here with Mike and Howard Herman, who is joining us here on the Bird's Eye View. On this Thursday, we've been talking the state semifinals for baseball. That was the last two events, games, whatever you want to call it, left for Berkshire County teams now that the meet of champions was done for track and field. Everyone else had lost in, I guess I can briefly bring up softball. We'll get back to baseball, don't worry. But I just don't want to forget, because over the weekend, Hoosick Valley was the sixth seed. They went out to Hopedale to play the three seed in the state semifinals in Division 5. Hoosick Valley had made it to the quarterfinals in 2022. That was a team that had one senior in Rylan Wittick, and she carried that team as the pitcher to the quarterfinals. They lost to a much, much, much better West Boylston team, and it was one of those things where if Rylan wasn't there, Hoosick did not belong on the same field as West Boylston. And on Sunday, they absolutely positively belonged on the same field as Hopedale, and they arguably should have won the game. They loaded the bases with no outs in the top of the sixth, and they could not get a run across. And that was the game. That was the difference in the game. They had three errors, and two didn't cost them, but one of them Hopedale scored on, and that was the game-winning run. And so that was a pretty brutal way to lose. They lost 2-1, and they just could not get that extra hit across. And that's going to be a tough one for Hoosick Valley. The Hopedale pitcher was, honestly, I mean, she wasn't anything really special. She spammed that changeup. Like the first four innings, and it took them a while to adjust, and then they adjusted and they hit it pretty well, and then she adjusted to a fastball and they were still sitting back, and that hurt them a little bit, just being a little slow to adjust. It also didn't help Izzy Tart, who's their third baseman and is maybe the best power hitter in Berkshire County in softball this year. She was hurt. She was had some kind of shoulder thing on, and so she wasn't playing. And if she was playing, there's a very good chance they win that game because they have someone else who can hit. But they absolutely – that was the big difference. That was the big takeaway for me. Team with one you know, Henry's done this throughout the season, by the way. Yeah. He likes Hoosick Valley softball. But, you know,
all like Hoosick Valley softball.
Sure. Mike Amin's a great guy. They belonged on that field. They belonged on that stage. They absolutely had the chances to win the game. And Mike Amin said as much afterwards, which is, you know, we're not used to, because they lost Turner's Falls in the Western Mass Final, and they played a pitcher who's throwing mid-60s. They're not used to that. Now you're seeing a pitcher with this crazy changeup that she throws all the time. They're not used to that. So he said, you know, these girls hit like 20 home runs, had all these wins. I hope they don't think they're superstars because we need, they, you know, they need to be working in the summer. They need to be getting ready for next year and, you know, learning how to play better, learning how to adjust to those things. And if they do that, they'll be really, 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 really good because they can absolutely be a great team and they can win a quarterfinal game. I think this is what like was proven to me. And hopefully to themselves that they are good enough to do it. They just couldn't get that quite that big hit they needed to do so in this game.
Over all the years, there are two kind of softball pitchers. There's one who throws really hard and you strike out a lot. And then the other pitcher is the one who pitches to contact. And then your defense makes all the plays.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was... I think the Hopedale pitcher kind of came in between. Like, her pitch would either be 3 feet low or 3 feet high, and it was whether or not you could sit back on it or... You know, whether or not you'd be swinging, you'd look like you were swinging wildly. The home plate ump also needed LASIK. That was one of the, there have only been three games in my life where I've questioned the calls. And that was one of them. But she'd throw the same high pitch twice in a row and it'd be a ball. And then she'd throw it again and it'd be a strike. That being said, he did the same thing for Husik. Like, it went both ways, so it wasn't that crazy, but it was just like an odd instance.
Which is what my youngest, who was a catcher in high school, used to tell me all the time. He didn't care what the strike zone was,
as long as
it was the same for both teams.
It was the same weird strike zone, so it's hard to complain that much. It was just very weird, so it threw you off.
So I need to ask you, because you were covering the game and I was only watching. What ended up happening?
Oh,
we had a near bench clearing incident.
No, the benches did clear.
Yes, there was that's why I used the term incident.
So, all right. So it's the seventh inning, and Cam Zerbato grounds to short. It scores a run, and he is called out at first. Pittsfield first baseman.
First
base coach vehemently disagrees. Drew Pierce disagrees, goes out to talk. The umps have a conversation. At this point, it's late in the game. There's only one out left in the seventh. So the Millbury crowd's getting rowdy. The players are like, come on, let's get this over with. And so there's a long conversation. Umps rule that he's out. I have video of it. I'm 95% sure he was out. That was just my angle. Obviously, no one questioned.
Everybody I talked to in the stands thought he was out.
He was out. He was very much out. There, the Pittsfields were arguing the first baseman's foot was off the bag. It might have been, to be fair. However, he had enough time when he caught it, and I can see in my video he went back and touched. So it probably was off at first, but he went back and touched before Zerbato could get there. So you have all these disagreements, and the first base coach is still arguing loudly with the first base ump. Drew Pierce is walking back across the field toward the dugout, and the Millbury catcher decides to start trash talking him. So then Pierce starts talking back to him, and it doesn't stop. And the home plate umpire does a horrific job of breaking them up. He basically doesn't do anything. So then the coach starts. So then the coach and the catcher start arguing, and then another coach from Pittsfield start coming in, and now more Millbury players start talking, so then the Pittsfield, multiple players leave the Pittsfield bench because they're coming out to, you know, deal with their coach. So then Millbury players start coming out. I'll give credit to the hops for Pittsfield Public Schools athletic director Brendan Russo. Hop
most
the fence.
Athletic play of the day.
Hop the fence to jump onto the field and start corralling the Pittsfield players back into the dugout. I believe a couple of them were ejected.
No, I don't think so.
I saw the ump make the motion.
No.
So
the first base coach was definitely
the first base coach was ejected after. I mean, it was very funny because he did not get ejected for, but he wouldn't stop yelling at the first base ump, who then ejected him.
Which means if they had won, he would not be allowed to be at Polar Park on Saturday.
Well, he was down 11-6. I don't think he.
But that happened in the Drury game. where on an RBI single, the first relief pitcher
he
tossed his bat in celebration,
right,
and it bounced into the Drury dugout. He was ejected. He will be ineligible to play on Friday or Saturday, whenever their state championship game is, because he was thrown out.
Right. No, that was clear incidental, like, contact, even though you can't throw your bat like that. This was very much not – this was very much incidental. What's the opposite of incidental? What's the opposite of incidental?
Purpose.
It's not incidental.
Purposeful.
But like, in is the prefix.
I like the incidental.
I like
incidental.
Yeah.
It's a new word.
Yeah,
we have invented a new word.
Incidental is the prefix, right? Yeah. So it's like dental is obviously something different.
Oh, that's when I go to my dentist.
Yeah, I just did that. and yeah, so like incidental. In any case, what do you think, Henry? What do you think, Hankus? I'm liking the blue pants on Hank.
If he was safe, Pittsfield is down 11-7.
And there's still
just one out.
And there's still just one out.
And another guy, what would it be, two guys on?
Two
guys on and Jackson Almeida at the
Almeida at the plate.
So you never know. There were two things that happened. During the course of that game, I saw several of the Uxbridge players who were there cheering on their friends, because Millbury and Uxbridge are like adjacent communities or close by. And I asked them, because I always ask, who do you, do you want to win? Do you want the team to beat you, win the state title? Because then you can say you got beat by the state champion. And they said, normally, yeah, but we know all these guys.
So what was
interesting was when Millbury made its pitching change, the players from Uxbridge were sitting down next to the Pittsfield dugout.
Yeah,
and they were giving out Jackson Almeida scouting tips.
That's funny.
On the pitcher,
the tips to watch five pitches go by.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. But they were talking, and they're all like, best buds now. They were all friends. But let me say, Carson Rylander and Jono and Connor Hinkle came up to me after the game and thanked me for what we did all year.
Okay,
and that does not
relax,
happen.
Howard. Stop flexing.
No,
okay,
no.
Howard's like, yeah. By the way, I'm such a great guy.
It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened since Eric Hirsch, who played at Mount Greylock back about a decade ago, a former Eagle intern in the features department, did the same thing after they lost in their state semifinals. It's nice when kids recognize, and I'm not saying because it's me, it could have been you, it could have been Mike, it could have been, Luke Whitehouse, it could have been Dylan, it could have been anybody. But the fact that they recognize what we do all year was the point.
That's true. I had a conversation with Aiden Wicks during the basketball season, and I found it very funny that he was kind of taken aback that I knew who he was. And I was like, bud, I've covered you in two different sports for like 3 years. It's like, I've seen you since you were 13, yes, I'm quite familiar with who you are and who a lot of your teammates are. I've seen enough of your games. So, all right. Well, yeah, good on Connor Hinkle and Carson Rylander. That's very mature.
And there were a couple of guys who came into the Pittsfield game last night. I didn't even know who they were.
They went seven pitchers deep.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they did. Yeah, we went from Matt Borrega to Cam Hillard to Sebastian Herrera, to Jason Fields, to Cam Zerbato.
Jason Fields, I had no idea who he was.
Jason Fields is one I've covered in Little League. So him I knew.
But Mike said he's a golfer, so
he golfs in the fall for the Pittsfield Tacana Co-op. But I guess
they had plenty of pitchers, but they just, like, this is the second straight year they have plenty of pitching. It's just not
good enough.
Yeah. So I kind of want to go back and look at the Taconic teams that won those state titles, or I mean even Greylock to maybe a lesser extent because it's a division down. But what is the difference? Because this is two straight years now, even three straight. Yeah, I think they were in a quarterfinal 3 years ago. The Pittsfield comes up short of the kind of the ultimate pinnacle.
Part of it is their secondary pitchers were really good,
mm-hmm.
and Taconic's number one guy in all those years was better than Pittsfield's guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what
I mean,
I'm
you're
thinking,
talking
yeah.
about guys like Christian, you know, Christian Womble,
these are,
Matt
yeah,
Lee.
High level D1
David Paz is better than everyone else on Pittsfield, I'd argue.
Potentially, but
in any case,
Matt,
that's
Matt
it.
Lee,
no, that's
Isaiah
it. We're
Mestre,
done. Thank you for listening.
Pitchers, yes.
Have a good rest of your day.